Good morning, friends. Welcome. We are going to be starting Chapter 8 of the Bhagavad Gita today. So I would welcome you. We are going to be doing something a little different today. Are you there, Lou?
I am. I'm something different. I'm excited.
In the past, this is a very short chapter, Chapter 8, 28 verses. And the first seven verses are the same topic, and the second seven verses are a similar topic. So up to verse 14, we're going to try and accomplish in this episode 87 and 88. And then when it comes to verse 15, which we will do in the episode 89,
right?
That is probably the verse that I find most fascinating in the entire Gita.
Really?
Yeah. And wow. It's more of a scientific wonderment on my part to say, well, how did they know this 5,000 years ago? But we'll see when we come to verse 15. Yeah. Let's focus right now on verse 1 through 7 of chapter 8. And what we're going to be doing different is, whereas in the past I took each verse line by line, word by word, and it made it a lot longer, I have found from people that have communicated with me that might be a little too much in detail for you.
Right.
I'd rather just give you the gist of what we're finding, especially in these next 14 verses are sort of primed for us to start doing that, because they're all the same topic, and I can probably do that, and you'll see as we go along.
Right.
So without further ado, the chapter 8 is basically Brahman and the world, basically saying you get what you pursue. If you pursue money, again and again, all you're thinking about is money, business, transactions, how much goes out of my pocket, how much comes back in. Ultimately, you'll get money because you're constantly thinking of that. And that's how the world functions, even with animals, birds. If the giraffe sees tall trees, generation after generation, it wants to get its neck longer. So many generations later, it does develop this long neck, and it is passed on through its genes also. So verse 1 through 7 is the nature of Brahman. You pursue something, that's what you get. So let's focus first on our gross body, right? We all know our body. We have 5 sense organs, 5 organs of action. We've talked about that. But I'm going to focus today on two other things that we have not focused as much on. And that is the causal body and the subtle body.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked about this, but just to be sure that everybody's on the same page, the causal body is called causal because it causes us to be. Why are we here? We are here because the cause of our being here is because we have desires inside from previous births. That is the cause of our birth. Our desires, our vasanas, are housed in the causal body. They're housed in an unmanifest fashion, meaning they're blocked up. You don't see them on the outside.
Right.
They become manifest in your dreams. They become manifest in your subtle body. So the subtle body is your mind, your emotions, your dreams. And so the gross body houses the causal body as well as the subtle body. Okay, so far, Lou, am I making it fairly simple?
Yes, we've dealt with this a little bit before, but yes.
Okay, good. For those who may not, some people just skip from episode to episode. So that's the causal and subtle body. Now, what is talked about in the first 7 verses and probably also the next 7 verses is what is Brahman. So we have talked of Brahman as being the life force, the consciousness, the existence, the bliss that is all around us, everywhere. It is tinier than an atom, and it is yet everywhere, and it is what gives us life, what gives us consciousness, right? We talked about as Brahman. Yep. It's like space all over, and inside us, the part that is within us that gives us life and consciousness, we call Atman.
Right.
Right. So what we have not spoken as much of, although we have touched on it, is that within us, that life force, that Atman, when we die, and we die in three different ways, when we die, that Atman doesn't go anywhere. People have this vision that, you know, it's like a soul coming out of your body and floating right. upwards. No. The Atman is, since Atman and Brahman are everywhere, when we die, the body, the gross body falls down. The Atman is perfectly one with the Brahman, right? Imagine a pot inside right. an ocean. There's water outside the pot and there's water inside the pot, right? There's the, let's call the water inside the pot water. And the outside water is the seawater. If I take a hammer under the way under the ocean and break the pot, the right. pot falls apart. The pot water and the seawater becomes one, but it always was one. There was only a difference of the pot being there, but there was no difference between the two waters.
Right.
Similarly, when the Atman, when we die, the Atman never dies. When we die, there's two or three different kinds of deaths that we have to recognize. One is the gross death, that one body dies, we leave the body and we go into a different body. That's the death that we all know. The other death that we talk about is that of self-realization. When we become self-realized, the Atman becomes one with the Brahman, never to come back into another body. Okay?
Yeah.
And the third kind of death is a combination of the death of our personality, whereas right now it's I, everything is me, mine, I. And if that dies, even though I've not self-realized, even though a person doesn't become self-realized, that I being dissipated or dying is also considered death. Another form of death is that during deep sleep. So when I'm awake, I'm thinking of different things. I'm alive, I'm thinking, I'm concentrating. When I'm asleep, I'm alive, I'm dreaming, and that's a different kind of life for me. This may be getting a little complicated, but bear with me, friends. When I'm asleep, in essence, my causal body starts to awaken, and then those vasanas are coming out from that treasure trove of vasanas into the rest of it. In essence, my Atman has left the body, because in deep sleep, I barely move. The muscles don't move. I'm just saying, I'm not dreaming, I'm not thinking, I'm not moving. But the difference is that in deep sleep, the Atman, the causal body, the subtle body, everything comes back into the body as if it has left. And right. then you wake up and you say, wow, I was so fast asleep. I didn't know anything. It's almost as if I left my body, but you didn't. So these are the different kinds of quote unquote deaths. And we can go into that at some other point. In the first verse, and I'm not going to go into the whole verse, basically what Arjuna asks Krishna is, what is Brahman? What is Adhyatma? What is Karma? What is Adibhuta? What is Adidaivam? What is Adiyajna? And very briefly, Brahman we've talked about. Adhyatma is the Adiatma, which is the inner self. Karma is the action. So action of Brahma to create this world, just like we do karma. We do physical work for somebody. We build him a house because his house burned down. That is my karma, my good deed.
Right.
Any action is called karma. When Brahman does a karma, that he creates the cosmos, he creates the world, that's his karma. Adibhuta means above the elements, the five Pancha Mahabhutas. Adidaiva means above these small gods that we talked about in previous episodes, that although we only, in Hinduism, there's one God, in order for people to understand it, we give little small gods, Ganesh, Lakshmi, all of that. Those are not really gods. Those are gods with a small g. Adidaiva means he's above all that. And Adiyajna means above the sacrifice that we all make. So the other question that is asked in these first seven verses is, how are you to Brahman, how are you, Brahman, to be known at the time of death by the self-controlled yogi? Now, this has created a lot of confusion in a lot of people, because you say, well, people say, well, think about Brahman at the time you die and you will get to Brahman. Doesn't work like that. You yeah. whatever you have been thinking about for all your life, if you keep thinking about Brahman, at the time of death, the resultant effect of those thoughts, the one thought that you will have is that of Brahman, because you've been thinking all along. If you've been thinking about money all the time, when you die, the thought of money will come to your mind. So it is important for you to spend your life thinking about God, remembering God, using His name. And we will talk about that. And that's the purpose of all religions, having a rosary and saying God's name.
Right.
Whatever God's name is in that particular religion, whether it be in Hinduism, Ram, Krishna, Ganesh, whatever it is that you choose to name, you're basically thinking of God all the time. So, how are you to be known at the time of death? Swami Chinmayananda gives this as one of his favorite examples. I had never met Swami Chinmayananda, but from his students who are now swamis, you hear that Swami Chinmayananda used to have this as a favorite example. He said that when a person is transferred, he gets a notice from his boss and says, you're to be transferred to a different city in 2 months. He says, oh, really? Okay, I better start packing my things. And he starts to pack. He and his wife says, okay, let the crockery go in here. Let the cutlery go in here. Let the sheets go in here. Books in this bag. He starts to pack everything. And he starts to make arrangements to ship. And then he makes the arrangements. A moving truck comes, moves everything out of his house to the new residence. Then he goes to the new residence. And it takes him a long time for him to unpack everything and set up in the new house. So right. that after a while, he's now all set. Swami Chinmayananda says the same thing happens when you start approaching death, that you, and that can happen in a fraction, just like in a dream, that it doesn't take 2 months. You start to pack up all your belongings in your causal body, your subtle body, your wishes, your dreams, your desires, everything to be taken with you when this gross body drops. Isn't that interesting? I find that fascinating as an example. That Swami Chinmayananda says, you start to pack, just like you would pack when you move from one home to another, and you start to pack all of your things. And that's why they say all your life swings ahead of you, goes by in your mind in a fraction of a second at the time that you see death. Have you heard that, Lou?
Yes. Yeah.
Your whole life goes in front of you.
Yeah.
So it looks to us very quickly, but to the mind, it's very systematic, just packs everything up and boom, takes it to the next body that you have come. Now, when you have to go to the next body, it has to be unpacked. So when you, although there are many examples of a child being born, and as soon as the child can talk, expresses that it knows things from previous birth. The average person, though, it takes a long time for those vasanas to start showing themselves. You don't see them, the desire for money, maybe at the age of 3 or 4. But right. as the child grows to an adolescent, you see those unpacked and into that person's new life. Another example that Swami gave is that of a phone, a cell phone. Today's phones are so magnificent. They're very smart. They remember everything that you put in there, telephone numbers, addresses, messages, all of that. But what happens when you get a new phone? I just got myself a new phone a while ago, and they told me, said because of COVID, I couldn't take it into the store, to the Apple store. And they said, take out this SIM card from the old phone, put it in the new phone. Now, the new phone had none of my information until I took out the SIM card.
Right.
The SIM card had all the information from the old phone. Now visualize the SIM card as the causal body and the subtle body going from the gross body of the old into the gross body of the new.
Right.
I put in the SIM card into the new phone and voila, everything that was in the old phone is now in the new phone because of the carryover of the SIM card.
Right.
And the SIM card can be then the carrier of all of this. Similarly, when we die, our causal body and our subtle body take this information from one's lifetime into the next one. Now, just like the SIM card is moved from one old phone, from a previous phone before that, from a previous phone, it's got years and years and years of information on that SIM card. I remember when I was working at the hospital, I look at the SIM card and there are records from years ago from when I was working in the hospital. Sure. And I have to say, I don't really need this. Similarly, when we have our vasanas today, and this is the point I'm making, friends, when we have our vasanas of today, sometimes you wonder, where did this vasana come from? This vasana came from one of your previous lives. We have had many, many, many thousands of lives before. That SIM card, those vasanas, that causal body, that subtle body is still the same. It's the same mind remembering all those previous lives in that sense from the vasanas. It may not remember that you were a king or a queen. It does remember the vasanas. So hope that is clear. And lastly, just as you can think about things and you can visualize. And remember, if I said to you, do you remember that favorite dish that we ate, your favorite dish? You haven't eaten it in a while. You can actually close your eyes. You can visualize the dish, sure, the smell of it, the taste, yeah, of it, all of that. If I say to you, can you visualize a place that you've been to, Bermuda? And you say, oh, you used to love Bermuda. Oh, yeah, I still love it. Close your eyes. You can think of the pink color sand, the color of the waves, the ocean, the smell of the salt air. You can visualize everything to that place that you have been. So in essence, you're creating the smell of that favorite dish of yours, the sight of that beach in Bermuda. You can recreate that. Now, each one of us is a microcosm of Brahman. So if we can create this, you can imagine that Brahman can create it on a cosmic level.
Sure.
He can create. And so you say, well, but the vision of Bermuda is just a vision. The vision of this food that I like is just a vision. This world is real. This world is real to you and me.
Right.
But to Brahman, it's just like an illusion. And we will talk about that, because just like when you wake up from a dream, you say, oh, it was just a dream. Similarly, people who are self-realized say that this world, this whole thing is just an illusion. And it's hard to comprehend right now.
When you were talking about the multiple deaths, the different types of deaths, many of them felt like deaths of that illusion, deaths of that reality that you've created.
Yes.
Yeah. Whether it be your self-image, you know, we talk about death of self all the time. And that's what you're talking about, this illusion of what you are, what the world is. And when you get to see behind the curtain, that's a death of a certain reality that you have to deal with.
Yes. Our reality is all just in the same analogy as the rope and the snake.
Yeah.
Just as the rope and the snake. And right, we've talked about that 1,000 times here, because it is one of the most poignant examples in the scriptures. So that's verse 1-7. And we will then go next time to verse 8-14. Thank you, friends. And all I, right, hope you join us and write to us what you think of this new style of doing the Gita without going through every single verse and every single word.
Let's point out that people can go to the Facebook page. If you're listening to us on a podcast, you can go to the Facebook page, The Gita, Memoirs of a Psychiatrist, and communicate with us. You can see video issues of these programs and comment on those or send a direct message. We'd love to hear from you. If you're watching on Facebook and want to take us along in your car or in your commute or on your walk, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, right?
Yes, Spotify also.
All right. We'll see you next time. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.